Words are powerful, really. Especially on a weekend like today, all you have to say is red, white, and all of a sudden people create in their mind that last word. It's automatic. Here's another example. Oh, by the way, the answer was blue, right? Here's another example. God bless. And all of a sudden, we do it in our mind, America. Someone doesn't even have to say the full sentence because words are powerful. Any politician knows this. They're triggers. They're anchors, you know. When I smell the fireworks, I already think about the barbecue. They're just anchored into us. Thanksgiving, anchored into us. I think October, when the leaves start changing, I automatically think of candy because these things are anchors. They're triggers. Red, white, and blue. God bless America. And so this weekend, we're coming here with all of these thoughts about independence, thoughts about freedom, thoughts about our citizenship. Now, in the readings this morning, there's no talk of the United States of America. It's just not there. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the Epistle. It's not in the Gospel at all. But nevertheless, there are three words I'd like to hang my sermon on. The first one is independence, because it's a trigger word. Another word is freedom, and I've chosen it because it's a trigger word. And lastly, citizenship. Now, Luther talked a lot about the kingdom on the left and the kingdom on the right. Kingdom on the left is the political kingdoms of the world. America is one of them. The kingdom on the right is the kingdom of God, which surpasses all nations. It is supreme. And so today we celebrate our freedom as Americans, but we also celebrate the fact that we can gather to worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, there is one section in the reading that does talk about the Israel of God. Most of us, when we think of the Israel of God in the passage in the second reading, we might think of Jerusalem. In fact, Jerusalem is talked about in the first reading. But Paul talks about the Israel of God. I'll hold on to that to the end. So let's look at the first word. The first word is independence. Jesus sends out these 70 or 72 people ahead of him to preach the message of the gospel. And he's telling them to be independent of the good opinion of other people. It was Abraham Maslow that talked about self-actualization. People who get to the point where they're free or they are independent of the good opinion of other people. They know what they are about, they know what their mission is about, and they know that they're going to find two people in the world, those who listen to them and affirm them, and then other people that won't give them the time of day. Jesus tells these disciples not to greet anyone along the way, to be so independent, not to be concerned about the opinion of what other people say or do. He says to them, go in the house and bring peace to them. And if you find a man or a woman of peace, the peace will be there. But if not, it will remain on you. And he tells them there are going to be two types of people, those who listen to the message of the kingdom and those who do not. Now, we live in America, and a lot of American people are politically correct. They don't want to say anything that's going to offend other people. But we see Jesus not being politically correct here at all. His alliance is to his Father. His alliance is to the kingdom of God. He says this, the ones who listen to you are really listening to me. And those who are listening to me are listening to the one who sent me. And either way, the kingdom of God is going to come to these people, either in salvation or in detriment. So Jesus is not politically correct. He's condemning Chorazin. He's condemning Bethesda. He's condemning even Capernaum, which he spent most of his time there. And he holds nothing back. He's preaching both the law and also the gospel. Because what is at stake? What is at stake is our eternal destiny. What is at stake is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is giving these people independence. And so I don't really believe that we are called today to go two by two or to pick 70 of us and to go knock in the neighborhoods of Hicksville. This was a specific mission for a specific time, though that wouldn't be a bad thing to do. But these people were given independence from the good opinions of other people. In other words, they had boldness. They had boldness to proclaim the message of the gospel without concern what other people would think. I don't know if you ever heard of Wayne Dyer. Dr. Wayne Dyer died a few years ago. My mother used to listening to the cassette tapes and reading his books in the 70s. I think he taught not too far from here. Someone mentioned that to me the other day. He was a professor, then he went out and wrote a book and became a speaker. And he was a disciple of Abraham Maslow. He loved and studied under Abraham Maslow, which talked about self-actualization. And on the final exam, I don't know if this is true or folklore, on the final exam, Maslow gave his students a question, and he said to them, what if you were to get up and give a speech in front of everyone and then discover that everyone in the audience were wearing tuxedos and you weren't? How would you feel? And you had an hour to write, you know. You had an hour to write, you know, your answer. How would you feel, you know? First of all, most people don't like to get up in front of other people and speak because they don't want to be rejected, so most people don't do it. But imagine being told that you had to speak next week and that everybody in the audience would be dressed to the hilt or, you know, dressed in tuxedos and you were wearing a T-shirt, maybe a pair of jeans. How would you feel? So this was the question for the final exam, and I think Wayne Dyer was writing and writing and writing. He had an old hour to write, you know. You know what the answer was? The self-actualized person wouldn't even know it, would not even recognize, wouldn't even come to their consciousness that everybody was wearing tuxedos because they were so focused on their mission. And I think independence is one of the things that Jesus called the early church to. Not to be concerned about the opinions of other people, but simply to preach the message of the gospel, and it falls wherever it falls. Some people to life, and other people not so much. Number two, freedom. He gives the disciples this command, don't take a money belt, don't take a knapsack, don't take sandals, don't worry about it. Just go. Just go. Go and preach the message of the gospel. Enter into a house, if there's peace there, they'll feed you, they'll give you water, they'll give you refreshments, they'll give you food. Don't bounce around to house. Don't make this out to be personal gain, but stay there and then move on. And then if someone doesn't accept you, move on. Dust the dust off your feet. What he's saying to these 70 or 72 people is have the freedom to know that all of your needs are taken care of, that everything is taken care of, that you don't have to worry. Consider the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Matthew on the Sermon of the Mount. These people were free to come and go because they were not tied down with the burdens of the world, the burdens of the pagans, how to make money, how to pay the mortgage, how to do this. I once knew a priest, Father Benedict Rochelle, some of you may know that name, passed away a couple years ago. And he'd say to me, Greg, I am the freest man of all. And I says, why, Father? He says, well, first of all, I make $500 a month. I says, okay. And he says, everything that I own can fit in a little bag this big. And he had all these books in his library. I've been to his house, you know. And he said, but no, truly, if I just need to leave right now and go give a conference or a seminar or to go preach, he says, I just go. They feed me. They clothe me. I get $500 to spend on books or whatever. But I am the freest man of all. Now, sometimes we get so tied down in commercialism, buying and being consumed and getting things, that we forget that Jesus truly gives us not only independence from the opinions of other people, but he gives us true freedom if we trust in him, if we trust. Now, if we worry and we take it on to ourselves, then we have a burden that we have to carry. But Jesus is talking about true freedom, freedom that has nothing to do with Washington, D.C., nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank, because I know millionaires that worry. I know people who have a lot of money, have successful businesses, but they're worried that it's going to be taken away from them. True independence comes from God. It comes from knowing your mission in the world, and it also comes from having the confidence that you're free, that God takes care of the lilies, God takes care of the birds, and no matter what happens, whoever gets elected this November, you don't have to leave the country because God... It's either going to be one or the other, right? So I don't know. But all I know is this, that true freedom comes from recognizing that God gives us all of our needs. And lastly, citizenship. We looked at independence, which is a trigger. We looked at freedom, which is a trigger. The last trigger is citizenship. Now, I think we're all proud to be Americans. I was born here. There's two ways to be an American. You're either born here or you come here and you became an American like my grandfather from Ireland and my other grandfather from Italy. You become citizens and you have that passport that I talked about earlier. And it's great. And we celebrate our freedom that we can worship. But I do believe most of all that what is even greater than all of that is our citizenship in heaven. If we become great citizens of America, if we have successful businesses and great families, but we lose out on the kingdom of God, it's a sad story. So yes, we celebrate our citizenship as Americans. Probably tomorrow we'll be with our families, we'll be barbecuing. Maybe you'll think about independence and freedom and citizenship as you're cooking your hot dogs. But most of all, recognize this, that our citizenship is in heaven. That is a great blessing, to know that Christ Jesus came into the world to die for all people, not just Americans. First Christians were Arabians, believe it or not, in the book of Acts. The kingdom of God surpasses all nations. I want to go back to the Israel of God. In the second reading this morning, maybe you caught it, Paul is talking about the Israel of God. And I always found that to be an interesting way of saying it. He doesn't say the God of Israel. He doesn't say the God of Israel. He says the Israel of God. What's that all about? Well, he goes on to say that circumcision and uncircumcision means nothing. Now, Paul was not politically correct either. He didn't care what people thought. But what he was saying was this. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, and it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. He would say it in other passages like in Ephesians. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave or free. We're all the same. But what he's saying in the book of Galatians to these saints is what matters is a new creation. This is what he's saying. And the Israel of God is not in the Middle East. This may surprise you. The Israel of God is the church. And this is what Paul is hammering away in the book of Galatians. He's saying, look, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish. It doesn't matter if you're an outside. It doesn't matter your nationality. Now, we would never want him to preach on this day, right? But that's what he's saying. He's saying that circumcision and uncircumcision means nothing. I don't care if you're Jewish, and I don't care if you're a Gentile. I don't care where you're from. That's what he's saying. But then he goes on to say this. What matters is a new creation. He's saying what Jesus said in the gospel. Don't rejoice over these things, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. The Israel of God, folks, you're looking at it. We are the Israel of God. It's both Jew and Gentile. It's people who are gathered together in faith in Christ. That's the true Israel of God. It's not in Palestine. It's not in the Middle East. It's not something you have to fly to. It's here among our midst. God bless.